Listening to the George and Paul Show here on 2GB, 4BC and stations across the country. John Stanley looking after things this weekend. I had a conversation earlier in the week on 2GB and 4BC with Tony Abbott, who was doing his trip to the Northern Territory as part of his new job as an Indigenous envoy for the government. We touched on the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation, which has been going for some 15 years now, providing education for Indigenous kids, and there's a whole lot of them now. Going back 15 years, it began at St. Joseph's College in Sydney as a program where a lot of young people would come down, they would go to school at St. Joseph's, they'd board there, they'd get the education and then move on in their lives, and I guess the all sorts of possibilities. The founder of the program was Andrew Penfold, and I recall interviewing him when it first began. It really took off about 2008, but I thought, let's do an audit, go back 15 years on and find out how it's going. Andrew's on the line. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm very well. We've got, what, a couple of generations now down the track from those early days.
That's right, yes. It's we started talking about this many, many years ago, you and I, and you were always a really great supporter of that. But that was about, well, I've been involved in this work for about 15 years now. So it started with, as you mentioned, the St. Joseph's College Indigenous Fund, which I set up in 2003, and basically did that for about 5 years, where we built a program sort of within the one school, which has now really kind of got its own, you know, own long-term sustainability all built into that program.
Just explain for us, Andrew, just for how the program broadly works. What's the broad concept?
So essentially, the concept is that we raise money from the government and the private sector to provide scholarships for Indigenous kids from all around Australia to go to leading boarding schools throughout the country. And through the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation, which we set up in 2008 to sort of spring off the St. Joseph's program, we now work with over 30 boarding schools all around Australia, and we have about 500 kids a year on scholarships at those schools. And those kids come from over 200 different communities around Australia, from very remote, from, you know, the Kimberley, from Arnhem Land in the Northern Territory, from the Cape York in Queensland, and also, you know, very remote sort of outback towns in South Australia and New South Wales and places like that, as well as kids from country towns and rural communities and even some metropolitan families as well. So essentially we provide the scholarships to enable them to go to some of the best boarding schools in the country. And as well as that, we provide what's called a pathways program where we support the students when they're at school to help prepare them to make the transition out of school into university and into jobs. And then we continue to support and track and mentor and case manage their careers and so on as they leave school and go into employment or leave university and go into employment.
So we've talked about this before in relation to, I mean, they are leaving their families and their homes, aren't they, to do this? They're doing it, obviously, because they want to do it, and the families are keen for them to do it?
Exactly, and you've just touched on the two most critical success factors for the program and the success. So we've been really great. We've had over 90% success rates every year in terms of retention and Year 12 completion, and the two factors that contribute that to the most, apart from the fact that, of course, these kids are going to fantastic schools with great teachers and everything else. But the real success factors that we've studied and researched are that the student themselves are really enthusiastic about the opportunity and that their parents are really supportive of that as well. So without those two factors, then it tends not to work so well.
If they're boarding, they go back to their families during school holidays in the same way that a lot of kids from rural families on farms and properties board and then go back to their families.
Exactly the same way. So all of these schools are boarding schools which have got long traditions with kids from different country towns and remote communities and farming communities and so on. And the Indigenous kids of those schools are exactly the same. And also, just like other boarders at those schools, they often take their mates back home on holiday. So you have a lot of Indigenous kids going to home with non-Indigenous kids they go to school with, and a lot of non-Aboriginal kids who go back to Indigenous communities with their school friends in holidays as well. So it's really got that sort of a full circle.
And their culture and their heritage, they're not told to abandon that, are they?
Oh, absolutely not. We select the schools really carefully based on the kind of welcoming environment that they create, where they have a good critical mass of Indigenous kids at the school. They embrace and celebrate Indigenous culture at the school. They have a whole range of Indigenous cultural activities and so on, so that the kids are really finding a lot of connection and strength in their culture, and in some cases actually sort of connecting much more strongly with their culture as they get better educated and they're in an environment with other kids who are really proud of their culture. For some students who may not have had a lot of connection with culture, in previous years, really come out of school feeling really proud and strong with their culture. So it's been an amazing observation to see, you know, when the kids graduate, how passionate they are about helping others and supporting their communities and really having that strong connection to their communities and their cultures.
Having gone through a few generations now, this is what I was interested in. You don't tell the kids what to do when they finish. Obviously, you'd like some of them, a proportion of them, as many as possible, to go back to their communities and contribute and show the benefits of education. But they can go anywhere they like, obviously. How many of them have gone back to their communities?
Well, so we've now got, including the Year 12 graduates from this year, we've now got 600, a bit over 600 graduates in the time we've been going with AIS in the last 10 years. And of them, about 35% of our graduates are living, working or studying in their home community. But you did hit the nail on the head there, John. It's like we're not trying to encourage or discourage what anyone should do with their lives. That would not be our role. We're trying to enable those students to have a good education so that they can make their own decisions about what they want to do with their life. And that might mean living and working at home. It might mean living and working in London, as you mentioned in your other interview recently, or it might mean living and working and studying in Sydney. So we're really about giving them the opportunity to make their own decisions, just like your kids do and my kids do. We shouldn't be treating them any differently, expecting more of them. But what we've found is that many, unsurprisingly, of course, want to go back to their community. So, you know, for instance, I've just been up in Arnhem Land a few weeks ago, where one of our recent graduates is now working with the police force in the Northern Territory, and another one of them was running a sport and recreation program in the town of Eucala. We've got examples of this all over the country. So
yeah, every town needs they need people who might be an accountant or teachers or nurses, people who've got some medical knowledge. There's so many different possibilities, and then you go back and show the benefits of education.
Exactly. We've got one student, for example, I just springs to mind, who finished school and did an apprenticeship as a diesel mechanic, and he's now 25 years old. He's from a community up in North Queensland, and he's now a fully qualified diesel mechanic. He's 25, and he just bought his own home. And he's, you know, an amazing role model, an amazing young fella who really has got a great work ethic, and just amazing to see the transformation in his life, coming from a community where I don't think any Aboriginal kids had previously finished Year 12, and he's one of the first, and now he's got lots of cousins and brothers and sisters and family and so on who are all kind of looking at his example and really feeling aspirational about that as well. So it's really about finding the right career for each student and for them making their own decisions. So whether that be, as you say, teachers, nurses, doctors, optometrists, business people, lawyers, engineers, you know, it really covers the full range, as well, of course, you know, social workers and community services and things like that. So it's just as broad as every other student who might come out of one of those schools.
Andrew, it's very inspiring talking to you again, particularly seeing how much work's been done. And if people want to find out more, I'm sure you've got a website, the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation.
That's right. So it's just www.aief.com.au.
They can look up that information. Lovely to talk to you again. Good luck. Anything you need, please let us know.
Thanks very much, John. Much appreciated.